Our dear friend Harav Daron Peretz is with us live via telephone. He's, of course, chairman of World Mizrahi. Many of you are aware that, and we've had an opportunity to discuss this many times. No, I shouldn't say many, but we've had an opportunity to discuss this since October 7th, of course, because Rav Daron has been with us over the last few months. Many of you know, Captain Daniel Peretz, son of Rav Daron and Shelley Peretz, was taken hostage on October the 7th, having fought valiantly together with his tank crew for hours in the defense of Nachal Oz. After 163 days, he was declared deceased as of Simchat Torah, October the 7th, and as of this writing, a book that Rav Daron just penned, his body is still being held in Gaza, awaiting a dignified Jewish burial. You may recall that the Peretz family was able to take whatever remains were of his uniform, etc., that were able to be rescued, so to speak, by the Israeli army, and they had a funeral service and shiva a little while ago. Rav Daron Peretz, an honor to welcome you back to JM in the AM.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It's an honor and a zchut to be with you, Nachum.
I appreciate that. And with all the roles that you have and all the added roles and responsibilities that you've been given over the last year, I still can't thank you enough for what you've done with World Mizrahi and how everywhere, every corner of this globe has a stronger connection to our Holy Land because of the work that you have done and implemented over all these years. I've said this to you from the beginning, and I just need you to know that leadership around the world appreciates it greatly.
Thank you very, very much. It's been a great to play a role in the re-energizing and resurgence of our global religious Zionist movement. Thank you. Much appreciated.
I know we only have a couple of minutes, and I understand that. And obviously, we take this opportunity to wish you and your family well for the coming year. You did write the book, Days of Awe in Times of War, Reflections from the Father of a Fallen Hostage. And before we discuss the past, I'm so curious about your perspective on the immediate future. I have certain feelings knowing that so many who were called up last week, and of course thousands of others who've been serving, are going to be spending these 3 days, Rosh Hashanah, Shabbos Shuvah, in very difficult circumstances, and circumstances very different from what we're going to be experiencing being in shul tomorrow night, Thursday, Friday, etc. What are your thoughts as the Israeli government has obviously made a decision to really scale things up, especially up north, right before the big holiday?
Look, I think obviously in general, this Rosh Hashanah is a very challenging one when reflecting on what's happened over the last year, not only our family personally, but 1,500 families. And not only that, you know, 101 hostages, and all of us have been a very, very traumatic year. So I think coming to the Yamim Noraim and Yom Hadin with this Eimat Yom Hadin, the sense of fear and trepidation, so to speak, of these days, it's they're not simple times, and especially at this time. And knowing that so many of our children and our families are going to be on the front lines is not simple. At the same time, the last few weeks have been really a blessing. After almost a year of what they call in Israel dishdush, you know, just like treading water, and such a difficult battle, you know, just ongoing. As we know, tens of thousands in the north still not back in their homes. You would have believed a year later, you know, when last that had happened, that tens of thousands of people were, you know, had left their homes and unable to come back, you know, is crazy because of a war situation. Still 101 hostages after everything Israel's done in Gaza. After such a difficult, challenging year where there's still so much to do, the fact that Israel was able to pull off what they have in the last few weeks with the, you know, the taking out of such arch enemies of ours, it's almost surreal that last Shabbat, and it was earlier for you, we only heard about it on Shabbos or after Shabbos, yeah?
Right.
That Hassan Nasrallah, Yamach Shimon, so many others, we've got the blood of so many people on their hands. The fact that Israel has been able to do what they've done, and the Mossad and the army, is just unbelievable. By the way, this is what Israel's been preparing for, as opposed to in Gaza, where we had no intel because Israel never thought we'd go back in this way, and therefore we just didn't have intel there. whereas so much intel has been collected. I mean, obviously, this company of the walkie-talkies and the beepers, this is years and years and years and years in the making, obviously. And unleashed the way that it was and taking out, Nasrallah Makhshamo and so much of their leadership is just unbelievable. So it's given us all a sense, I think, of we're all buoyed by it. It doesn't change the situation in the South, and there's a lot to do there, but I think it's, there's that. And I just want to say one other thought, one of the images we know when the Mishnah in Masechet Rosh Hashanah says, and we say it in the Winatana Tokef, we say that everybody passes by Hashem ki b'nei maron. Right. That's what we say. Haroe bakarat edro, ma'avir tzonot tachat shivto. Everyone, so to speak, passes and inspected by Hashem on Yom Adin like b'nei maron. Now, what are b'nei maron? So the Gemara gives three explanations. Explanation one is it's like sheep, just like a sheep is inspected by the shepherd, each one. So in Kam Yom Adin, there's a certain helplessness in Yom Adin that what you've done, and now you're being judged. So that's one image. You come one by one as sheep, so to speak. You don't. There's not much you can do about it now. What you've done, and you're being judged. The other one is Kamalot, Maron, a place called probably Meron, the mountain. It's like up the winding, treacherous paths that you're walking in. Each person is in a precarious situation. You can only go in single file. You're standing before God, so to speak, in single file. You're being looked at on your own, and it's highlighting the precariousness of the situation, that the book of life, the book of death, so to speak. But the third explanation is fascinating. Says the Gemara in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, another explanation of the name Aron means soldiers, and it brings an Aramaic word for soldiers, and it says kachayelotav shel beit David, like the soldiers from the house of David, meaning we're inspected like soldiers in a which are being inspected before going out to battle. And I think that's transformative, because one of the images is not the sheep, which has, so to speak, done what it's done and now it's got no choice, which there's an element of that in judgment. There's an element of precariousness in judgment that is the second image of going up the mountain. But there's a third image that is, yes, it's dangerous to be a soldier. And yes, a soldier is expected in single file by the sergeant, by the officer. But a soldier is there to fight for the things they believe in and to shift Jewish history and to fight for their country and their values. So there's an element of standing before Hashem as chayalim, which, yes, it's dangerous and precarious, but it's also something which is something we can do about. We can transform, we can change, we can always do teshuva spiritually, and we can always change. It's one of the themes that I wrote about in the book as well. One of the articles in the book is about the ram's horn being a weapon of war. It's not only a weapon of evoking God's mercy. It's also a weapon that a ram uses to defend itself. It's a very, very tough, like a battering ram. And there's an element of Rosh Hashanah which is fighting for the things we believe in, standing up for them, sounding the trumpet of the godly values we believe in. So I think there is something as difficult and challenging as it's that we've been forced into this war, but there's an opportunity here to be able to fight for the things we believe in. How blessed we are to have a Jewish state. How blessed today we can identify with the image of Kibnei Maron, of the soldiers of David, and how our soldiers, literally on this Rosh Hashanah, as the ram's horn will be blown and the shofar, are fighting for the values of Hashem, to coronate Hashem in the world and to rid the world of so much evil. And just hope and pray that Hashem will look after each and every one of them. Wow.
Rav Daron, the book is available to everybody, correct, on Mizrahi.org?
Correct. We've printed many copies. It's going around the world with our HaMizrahi magazine. It's a 64. It's a booklet, essentially. It's a 64-page booklet that I've called. It rhymes better in South African English than in American English to say "Days of Awe in Times of War." I know. I think it sounds. I think awe and war sounds a little bit different, but in South African English, it sounds good. Days of Awe in Times of War. And it's really reflections, also as a father, unfortunately, of our son, Daniel, who we heard after 163 days, was killed, and his body's still held in Gaza. And Lahavdila, our oldest son, Yonatan, who also fought in the same area of Nahal, was also an officer, in the paratroopers, and by the grace of God was saved. So we've had this, this tumultuous year of one son saved and then married 10 days later while injured, and another son missing and taken hostage. And it's just been one blessing and curse, one challenge and simcha, and just so much challenge the whole year. And I just felt that also you know, in a rabbinic capacity as well. I just felt there, and I've spoken a lot over the year, and I just felt there was an opportunity, as we all struggle with the Amim Noraim, and as we all struggle through, you know, for our family, you know, Rosh Hashanah was the last time I davened together with Yonatan and Daniel. They were both on each side of me on the tefillah. They were both out the army, and we davened together for the 2 days. On Yom Kippur, they were both back in the army. And Sukkot, Daniel was on the first day, and Yonatan at the end. So the last time I was with both of them together was in the, you know, the tefillot of Rosh Hashanah. And secondly, the last time we saw Daniel was the first day of Sukkot when he was at us. And of course, on Simchat Torah Shmini Atzeret, it happened what happened. So these whole days of these, what, Chagei Tishrei, are punctuated by such a poignant and powerful and painful day of Rosh Hashanah, and then culminating in what happened on Simchat Torah. So that's for our family, but I think for all of us, we're all traumatized to an extent, and we're all coming to this Chagim period with such a different sentiment this year. And I wanted to try and use, so to speak, you know, the journey that I've been through and we've been through, in a way of sort of giving chizuk as much as possible and connecting it to the themes of the day, the themes of the shofar, the themes of judgment, the themes of Ruach HaGzerah. Can we genuinely change Ruach HaGzerah or not? How does that work? And the themes of Simcha and of Sukkot and of Shmini Atzeret. So I've tried to really sort of pen articles which bring the reader on the journey we've been through, but somehow deeply connected to the main themes of the day of and hopefully give chizuk. We've got 3 days in Shul of the Yamim Nora of Rosh Hashanah and Shalosh Shuvah, then of course Sukkah, you know, Yom Kippur Sukkah. So I try to sort of, you know, share and hopefully give chizuk. I hope and pray.
I have nothing to add to that, Rav Daron. All we could say is the sound of the shofar pierces the collective Jewish heart and offers us tremendous inspiration and hope. I hope it gives a measure of comfort to your family. And I do hope and pray, with all this burden that you have, that you just described, and the hope that you have for the future, I do hope that you're able to have a peaceful, happy, healthy, sweet new year, and in whatever way possible, enjoy the upcoming Chag.
I really, really appreciate that. I'll maybe just say one last thing. I know I need to run, but just one last thing. One of the main themes in the book, of the first article, which is the longest article, is the dichotomy of life. I've called it broken completeness, that life is about both being broken and complete at the same time. And one of the places I learned that from is from the shofar. The shofar, as we know, Rosh Hashanah is called in the Torah Yom Truah, or Yom Zichron Truah, but Yom Truah. What does Truah mean? Simply put, Yom Truah is the blowing of the shofar. Utruat melech bo, hariu lashem, laharia is a sign of celebration. We're celebrating, we're coronating God. It's a time of tremendous celebration. Rashi says, re'ut, friendship, celebration, coronation. That's laharia. But we know that Targum Onkelos says that Truah actually means, it means crying and groaning. And that's why the call that we say, there's the of the shvarim Truah, the Truah is the most broken crying sound, and the Shvarim is also this broken sound. So the Truah, says the Targum, is actually, it's a broken sound. There's actually a Pasuk in Tehillim, Mizmor Bet, which says, Teroim b'shevet bazel, to break them with a wooden, with a metal rod, meaning Teroim, Lahari is also to break. So you couldn't have two more different explanations. So let's make up our mind. What is the Truah? Is the Truah a sign of brokenness and crying and Shever? Or is it a sign of celebration and coronation? And the answer, of course, is it's both at the same time. We come to Rosh Hashanah absolutely broken, especially this year. All of our lives are not what they were, and all of us never, every year, quite live up to the completion and perfection we'd like to. And there's an element in all of our lives which is broken, and certainly in this year, and that an imperfect. And the Truah and the Shofar reflects that pining and yearning from a place of incompleteness and fracturedness for God. But at the same time, we live in Hashem's world. And in Hashem's world, when we're coronating God, it's something to celebrate for. And everything in Hashem's world is somehow for the best. And everything in Hashem's world is complete. It's His world, not ours. And therefore, we coronate Hashem, reminding ourselves whose world we live in. And His world is complete. Everything's the way it's supposed to be. But our experience of it is often from a place of brokenness. So it's a broken completeness. It's being fractured while being whole at the same time. It's feeling the sense of brokenness while feeling complete. And I think this year we feel it more than ever. And we hope and pray that from our place of brokenness and incompleteness, we will coronate Hashem. And in Hashem's world, things will not only be good in principle and seem good to us, but we'll all be able to feel the metikut. It should be a shana tova to go b'zot Hashem.
Amen. Shana tova, Rav Doron, our best to your entire family. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much to you, Nachum, and your whole family and all the listeners, Jam and I am. Sorot tovot, Yeshua v'nechamot. Thank you very much.
Amen. Rav Doron Peretz, of course, he is the leader of World Mizrahi. He's the father of Daniel, who fell on October the 7th, and who we pray his body will be back in Israel for a proper burial as soon as possible. Rav Doron just completed he calls it a booklet. It's a book. It's 60, 70 pages, but it's serious enough to be referred to as a book. It's called Days of Awe in Times of War, Reflections from the Father of a Fallen Hostage. It is available if you go to Mizrahi.org. And as he said, it's being distributed in a number of places. So you'll likely see it in booklet form in major Jewish communities that are tuned in. And I highly recommend that before Yontif you download it and include it in your Yontif reading from the Mizrahi website. More coming up. JM in the AM.